What's good, everybody? This is Halftime with the Playmakers, your midweek partner with the live show, The Playmakers, which airs every Saturday from 12:30 to 2 p.m. right here in the School of Journalism and Graphic Communication at Florida A&M University. I'm your host, Mr. 813, Amaya Kibi. I got some special guys in the studio with me. Guys, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Oh, what's going on, y'all? It's Tristan. Y'all know the vibes. I'm not Mr. 813. I'm just Tristan, so.
It's the one and only Jeffrey Hood Jr. repping the DMV in Atlanta area.
Hey, man, Gerald Thomas coming out of Savannah, Georgia, the Seapoat.
Yo, it's Jay Scott, the freshman on campus repping the 813.
Yes, sir. Honor me now, you know. Slim Trim in the cut from the city, beautiful Orlando, Florida. How's everybody doing today?
Doing well, Trim. These guys are not the only guys in the studio with me. We're back with another segment called Who's Next, where we bring on athletes and former athletes and coaches and people in the sports industry. We have a very special, special guest. She's a former Team USA gold medalist, where she played as a college student, played for the great Pat Summitt, holds the most steals at the University of Tennessee, second all-time leading scorer in school history, a two-time Naismith Player of the Year, played in the WNBA, played overseas, and is in the Women's Hall of Fame. Coached at different Division I institutions, and she is now the head coach of our Florida A&M women's basketball team. So on behalf of the Playmakers and Halftime with the Playmakers, we would like to welcome Coach Gordon to the show. Coach Gordon, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm repping the 386 all the way from the land, Florida. How about that one?
That's a bet. That's
okay.
A bet.
That's great. Crib.
Love to hear it.
Coach, how you feeling today? How you feeling about the season? Let's just get right into it. How are you feeling about everything that's played out? This was your first season. It was a successful season. Obviously, a lot of room for improvement, but how do you feel about everything overall?
I feel like the only way is up. I know there's going to be an expectation on the next season because of everything we was able to accomplish with the little that I had. So I'm excited. I'm always up for a new challenge. That's what really gets me going, the challenges. I like to set goals high and see how much and how high I can go, because with the sky being the limit. But I can tell you this, I never envisioned being so successful with a 20-loss season. So that goes back to say that in those 20 losses, a lot of those came from our non-conference, which was very, very tough. A team that I put together that hadn't played together. But at the end of the day, we are part of history. First team ever, women's right. basketball. And let's just set the record straight, because you'll have some other alums out there. That was the MEAC. Now we're in the SWAC, where you have to qualify to go to the tournament. Everybody right. don't go. It was 8 teams out of the 12, and we was preseason picked 10th, and we end up being 6th, and we end up being 7th seed because we had more losses than Alcorn did. But like I said, kudos to a great season. Very happy. Got the POY Player of the Year, and she ended up being first team All-American for HBCU. So very happy for Ariana. I'm sad to see her go, but I'm telling you, I'm rocking and rolling right about now. I have so many young ladies that want to come and be a part of it, so I'm just excited. Once again, Coach, I always tell you, the cake has been put in the oven, and I'll let you know when it's gonna when it's ready to get out.
All right now.
All right, I like that. Coach, just to start off the season, you got the call late. What, mid-August maybe you came in? Just what was going through your mind when you got that call, when you stepped foot on campus?
I was super excited. You're right. I started in August, my press conference, and I got notified in July. I think it was the 27th I did my press conference. Very impressed. Was not the FAMU that I grew up knowing from back in the day. Just all the new additions and the newness of this campus, everything they have done to the campus. But I was excited because I'm back in the state of Florida, being 3.5 hours away from my mom. She's 89, being 90 in October, and just all my family. So I can't remember or can't recall, because it's been so long, when my family's been able to come and support me as a player, not as a coach. So I'm super excited about that. And just, like I said, a new challenge, being the head woman in charge. And that's how the name Coach Pressure came up, because I knew I was going to be up under so much pressure. Pressure for a lot of reasons. Women's basketball hadn't did anything in a long time. There was expectations from the VPAD to get us back to the SWAC conference tournament. So I love challenges. And I was born and built for what I was going to endure for the next 5 months. So I was super excited about the challenge.
Coach, I recall that press conference that you had, and I remember you said that you didn't really get a chance to see the facilities or anything until you got there. And I know that's when you also met the team. What was that turning point when you met the team, and what did you tell them in that moment that got them to enjoy the success that they did have? Because that was a different team that we saw last year from past years.
They saw that I was a loving and caring individual. I told you I put up this facade. I'm so tough. I build up that fence on the outside. But once you get beneath the covers, I'm just a country girl from DeLand. I'm easygoing. I call myself a blue person, loving, caring, nurturing, just like a mother. So the ladies saw that, and they understood that being a champion at every level, that's by no accident. So I had to know what I was doing. And it took them a little week, about a week or two, maybe even a month, for them just to buy in, because it was something different. A coach that had knowledge, skills, love, everything that they were missing. And I can go back and fast forward. I didn't know at that time, but now that the season is over, for the young ladies to come and confess, like, coach, you know, it was hard because we weren't used to somebody like you, just full of energy, full of passion. You brought it every day. You demanded, you dictated, and you earned. You earned our respect. We didn't know what to expect from you. We knew you did it as a player, but we didn't know what you could do as a collegiate head coach. And I was telling them all through the season, the jury was out for a decision, and they made a decision that I can't coach. So it's not me coaching, it's you guys. So you either gonna shape up, put up, or get out, because I don't like anybody that straddle the fence. You gotta have 2 feet in or get 2 feet out. And that's just how I am. I mean, don't let the smile fool you. I'm tough. But the same thing I told them, I would never call them out their name. I don't have to cuss. I don't have to belittle them or criticize them. I just got the best out of each and every one of them. And I told them it was a sisterhood, and we did everything as a family. So I involved them as a family. We cried together. We prayed together. We sang together. We lost together. We won together. So it was just a very, very family-oriented. And it was my culture that I was building in. So they didn't really have a choice. It was my way or the highway.
That's real.
Think about it. I played walk-ons, right?
Right.
So I brought in people that knew the culture, and it was going to buy in. And everybody was like, you coaching her? Why not? At the end of the year, we going against Cookman, and our two walk-ons played significant amount of minutes. They played the last 4 minutes because our starters had fouled out, and we clinched to go to the conference championship. So, I mean, I coached my, the weakest link, as they might want to say, my walk-ons the same way I did my best player in Ariana Grizzle and Olivia Delancey.
That's real, coach. So, with you being, this is being the full year with you at FAMU, you've pretty much seen what the SWAC has to offer, and you've also seen Jackson State. This has been their second year in a row making the tournament. So, what needs do you think you have to fill to get to that next level as a program?
I got to find me a true point guard. I made Yvette a point guard, and that's not her natural position. I need to have some inside presence. I need tough ladies out there on the floor. I like to call them dogs, and that's D-A-W-G-S, dogs. I told them I like alley cats and not house cats. I want somebody out there in the alley that's going to protect us. So I'm looking for that type of DNA in the young ladies. So you go back and say what it takes. It takes, first of all, a team of chemistry, because on the Jackson State team, you never knew who was going to be the leading scorer, where we constantly had Ariana or Olivia that was going to do the most scoring for us. So now I get to go out and find me a PG that's going to run the team, that can stretch the floor also, so they can't double down on an Ariana that's not here. My other POY that I'm bringing in, Demaya Griffin, another natural scorer, or they can't double down in the post, which Jaleel will get better with me. She was our most athletic kid, but she just needed working. She had an ACL tear, mm-hmm. So she had a scope done already. She'll be out and ready to go, and I'm bringing in some other 6'4s and some other forwards that's going to help us. So I seen exactly what we need. It's a matter of getting them in here summer session B in June and putting together this sisterhood and making that run, not overlooking anybody else. But hey, you got to give Tamika all the credit. She's earned it, right? That's who we're going to get, and that's who we ready to go get. I'll just leave it at that.
That's real.
Coach, with as much excitement being brought back to women's basketball, do you think that effect will be felt within HBCUs or teams going forward? Just that, the amount of energy and passion that's being, you know, funded into the sport?
I'm glad that you asked that question. If I can go back, and I think the numbers are right. I was at the Final Four and the semifinal, so I was there watching and intaking everything. And I like to say, you know, pat myself on the back, because I was one of the pioneers that was at the University of Tennessee back in 85 through 89. And I just recall, Pat, everything we were doing, it was because of women basketball, and she wanted to put the game on this stage, on this platform that it is today, all those many years ago. I remember asking her a question like, we're getting ready to play this rigged SEC tournament, but at the time the powerhouses were Louisiana Tech, the Old Dominions, the University of Texas. So we would play them in non-conference, and I'm like, why are we doing this when we got to, you know, beat Georgia? We got to beat Auburn at the time that was at the top of the conference. And she said, it's to grow the game. Why are we wearing Converse, Pat? I like Nike. Converse does so much for the women game. So we did did everything for the game and where it's at today. So I can appreciate by being one of those pioneers and laying the foundation for the game to be where it's at. And absolutely, when you can get women to outdrill men in anything that we do, when we had, I think it was 18.8 million viewers compared to today, 14.1. If I could do my math correct, that's 4.7 million more viewers watching women's basketball. Mm-hmm. So this is what we live for. And absolutely, it has trickled down to women's basketball in the swipe. When I say right now, I'm a hot commodity, our young ladies are a hot commodity, hey, that's my next bill. I need money for my program. So you got so many people excited, you know, going back to the point that Jeff made and everybody's making. They see the difference in the young ladies, not just the way they play, but the way they walk, the way they talk. And that's called confidence. So they just different, because I've always told them to be comfortable in your own skin. And that's what they have done. But going back to the point, yes, it has and it will trickle down to all of it, from high school to bitty ball to middle school to AAU. The focus is on women basketball now. When you have the likes of Shaq and you have the likes of Paul Pierce and one of my favorites, Kevin Garnett, and they in the studio talking about women basketball, it's like heaven. I'm loving it. Mm-hmm. Don't wake me up if I'm dreaming. Don't wake me up. You know the song. But yeah, it's just a great time to be a part of women's basketball, especially at the HBCU. And I recall maybe 2 or 3 years ago saying that a lot of people thought that COVID was so bad, and it was. Let's just go back and rewind. COVID was devastating and it caused a lot of losses, right? Caused a lot of death. But it also impacted our role as far as women basketball, that we're now put on a platform that you can view us on ESPN Plus or HBCU Go, right? So that it brought the attention to the household by being able to view us on those outlets. So COVID, you got COVID to thank. Some of those high school players don't like COVID. I think this is the last year that the NCAA has awarded those young ladies to have that extra year. Mm-hmm. But yes, the platform is here. It's here to stay. Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, you know, just to name a few. Rakia Jackson. WNBA draft is tonight. It's exciting. I'm curious to see how many viewers will be watching.
I know I'll be tuned in.
I'm tuned in every channel and in every language too.
Coach, you said you went to the Final Four and watched the national championship game as well. What is one thing that you take away from, you know, the national champion South Carolina Gamecocks?
I just love Dawn Staley. Played against her, battled against her in the W. I was at the University of Tennessee when she was at Virginia. I like to tell the story that we used to kick Dawn butt, and Gino was assistant coach over there with Debbie Ryan. So Gino is very familiar with Bridget Gordon. But I'm just great to see women's basketball on the stage that it was, and then the excitement, especially with Dawn, because she's done so much for the game and she's given so much, and for had an opportunity to be comfortable in her own skin and to coach the type of young ladies that she's able to coach and put out that classy product that she puts out on the floor. She's just an ambassador for the women game. So it's so great to see her and cheer her on as being that an ambassador. And I could just envision myself as I want to be the same ambassador that she is for everybody, that I want to be that for the HBCUs. And that's what I looked at, you know, the game. I envision us being there. I came back and I told my ladies that, you know, in order for us to get to Tampa, we need to win the SWAC. And to win the SWAC, we got to get past Jackson State. And like I said, no disrespect to anybody else, but they're the winners, the conference and the tournament winners. So I got excited just watching the game in the crowd and just seeing, you know, little boys as well as little girls so excited about the game. I just came back home even hungrier to get this season started and shaking up my lineup a little bit and going to get the things that I need without having to pay that big old price of that NIL that's out there.
Right.
Coach, going back to your out-of-conference schedule, y'all play a lot of big teams like Florida, Michigan, Eastern Michigan. That's probably not one of the bigger teams, but that's just an example. So, and I think that kind of gives a misleading kind of view to the team, because like the record was so unbalanced by the time y'all got into conference play. So moving on, do you see yourself playing other HBCUs that y'all normally wouldn't play to kind of avoid those Floridas or Tennessees, or do you plan on continuing to do those?
No, I continue on playing it. Florida will be a team that we play every year as long as they want to play us. Florida State, if y'all didn't know, Brooks' husband is my volunteer coach, Esmo, on the team. So I have a close relationship with Brooke and Coach Hamilton over at Florida State. So look in the future of Florida State, I still want to play surrounding teams that's here in the area. UCF. Mm-hmm. I'm putting in UCF on the schedule. Georgia Tech. Want to go to Atlanta. That's one of our biggest fan bases in Atlanta, and everybody want me to come back.
I'll go.
And I got a little secret I ain't going to tell y'all yet. I'm going to just keep it in the you know, keep that in the oven too. But we're going to play us a MEAC team this year. So.
Okay, okay.
I'm going to bring that feeling back.
That's big.
Coach, just talking about the season upcoming, you guys did have some flaws when it came to turnovers late in games. But what do you plan to make adjustments so you guys can capitalize and end the game off the way you guys started? Because sometimes you guys start out hot and you guys cool down. And then as soon as it gets like 5-7 points within the game, it kind of turns into a turnover battle. So just what do you plan to correct for the following season?
Oh, it's already the details. It's already been implemented from day one. I gave them 10 days off and I took 10. I told them coach was going on a sabbatical for a month. Nobody wanted to hear me use that word, but yes. We've been working on the basic fundamental, the same things that I was trying to instill in them when I had them. But the biggest thing why those turnovers came late, we did decrease how many turnovers we had from the previous year, but the turnovers that we had late came from our condition. It had more to do with the condition, and at the end we were tired because I didn't get that off season with them. So condition is number one. If you would have been out there this morning, 7 o'clock on the football field, and we conditioning. And we're having a good time. We got the music going on. We dancing, we laughing, and we playing, and we getting in the work. And this is where you get better. That's where the conditioning comes. Now, talking about giving them 8 weeks off, I'm a little leery about that because the young ladies are getting ready to leave me, and this is the last week of postseason play. Graduation is the 3rd and 4th of May, and they're coming back to summer session B, which doesn't start until June the 24th, so I'm giving them 8 weeks off. But I'm trying to put the fear in them. I told them I'm gonna put a trash cans at each row in the football stadium in Bright. They come out of shape, I'm just gonna point. And they can just go, and when they need to throw up, they can just throw up in the garbage can. Yeah. Because we didn't work too hard to get where we at. I'm saying when you looking at a sprint, Cole is even impressed. Our strength and conditioning coach, I called to check in. He's like, oh my God, coach, this is the best, hardest working group of young ladies that I didn't have come in my weight room since I've been here. He's like, they're together. You can feel the sisterhood. It's a team. They have a common goal that they want to accomplish. So that was just, you know, kudos to everybody for them buying in and allowing me to push them. And then my expertise just, you know, taking over. But the conditioning part and just the basic fundamentals that you saw us do, now you're going to see basic fundamental with better athletes and better talent. So that should push us to a place where we shouldn't be turning the ball over late. And I should have some more bodies because that was the other key, just not conditioning, but our bench was not strong. And you see the Grambling State game when we were down there at the tournament where they can rotate in 3 or 4 people at different times and kept fresh legs. So that's what I'm envisioning, that I will have to a deep bench that I could just go in and rotate and bring in fresh young ladies. But hey, the details and the fundamentals of the game will always be taught with me because they are huge, and they the details that get you those inches late in the game.
Coach, I know that you were talking about bringing in some newer people. Who are you looking to take more leaps and bounds going into this next season to fill the shoes of Ariana Griswold?
Well, I alluded to earlier, we have one, Demaya Griffin. She's the player of the year coming out of a junior college out of East Georgia College. So she's put up big numbers. I think one of her highs was about 36 points this year. And she's a rebounding guard, and she's gritty on the defensive end. If people didn't know, I'm a defensive-minded coach, but I love to score also. I was always a two-way player, so that's what I'm instilling in my young ladies, but defense comes first. If you remember, if you go back to the game, you saw it was Raven Johnson defense on Caitlin Clark that frustrated her, that got her tired.
Right.
She started off, and I told everybody that was around me in the suite that she would not be able to sustain that. She started early, and she peaked real early, and I didn't know if she could sustain it, and I knew she couldn't because of the pressure that they was going to apply. But going back to what you just saying, just adding the pieces, a point guard, a gritty, fast point guard that I'm recruiting, then maybe getting a high school senior freshman point guard to come in here and learn from a young lady that's already got 2 years on her belt, and just adding some other pieces, some height. Like I said, unfortunately, some young ladies that was on my roster will not be back on my roster. You'll see a revamp FAMU women's basketball team. Some of the young ladies will stay, and then you're going to see a lot of my new recruits in this year, and it's all about gelling. So I appreciate that we're going to have this off season so I can put all that together. People would like to say I wrote the miracle. As y'all might not know, I am a God-fearing woman, so everything here is, you know, we blessed, and I'm just so super excited about what we're gonna, the product that we'll put back out there on the floor.
Coach, during preseason media day, one thing that stuck out to me when we was talking was you said you were just talking and you was pointing up to the rafters, and you was like, we're lacking these. Being able to play under a legendary coach like Pat Summitt, being able to really rub elbows with another legendary coach like Don Staley, does it keep you up at night, you know, just thinking about, I really can make this FAMU women's basketball program something special?
Yes, that's what I said. My night's been restless since I got back home Monday from the Final Four, just envisioning way I can take this program with some more resources and tools, and that mean money and dollars, that I need to help my young ladies have that type of experience I did have at the University of Tennessee. But like we said, not so much on the women's side, but on the women's side, you know, the NIL, the name, image, and likeness is playing and taking its course. But I like to think that my accolades and what I was able to do, my coaching style, the number one HBCU, public HBCU, 6 years strong, maybe some little money to come. Who knows, the collective bargain, because we hot right now. You got people that's want to invest in women's basketball. Like I can, you know, just say someone just gave us money to go buy us a new shooting gun, and that gun was $8,400. So someone wrote me a check and said, hey, coach, we behind you. We appreciate what you stand for. More importantly, the improvement that we see in the game. So we got people that's going to back us. So, yes, I'm already full of energy and passion. I don't think I sleep but 3-4 hours a night a day. But, yeah, I'm really, really excited. And just to make sure, with that all being said, I'm also a little weary because the culture and the young ladies that I've kept, and they're so close-knit right now, our sisterhood. Now I have to go out and bring in. I got to make sure I'm bringing in the right pieces, right? Because I'm up under this microscope, and everybody watching, they saying, these are your players that you're bringing in. Now it start. This your culture. And so I got to do my homework. I got to talk to the parents. I got to talk to the AU coaches. I got to talk to the former coaches. I got to dig deep and search high to make sure I'm bringing in the type of young ladies that I want in my program to be in a successful family and sisterhood. So, yes, I'm super, super excited. Super, super excited where we can go.
Coach, last question for me. You spoke about the recruits that you were bringing in, and you also spoke about the returning players that you have on the roster or that will be coming back next season. So when those new, you know, recruits come in, whether they're straight out of high school or whether they're transfers, is there going to be an open competition to, you know, gain, you know, starting spots from the previous players that you had on the roster?
Oh, yeah. I'm not afraid to start a freshman, and I'm not afraid to bench a senior. So it's about hard work. There's no entitlement here. Like I told my young ladies, I'm sorry about no child left behind, but we don't get participation certificates or ribbon for second place. Everything is going to be competitive. And I told them, you got an edge right now. You better bring your A game, because the young ladies and your sisters that I'm bringing here, they just as talented or more talented than you. So you better work. So I'm loving every minute that I'm going to have come June the 24th. I'm excited to see everything that I'm bringing in mixed with what I have coming back. But it's going to be competitive, because everything we're doing right now, it's all about competing against one another. I'm pairing up my young ladies with each other to make them push each other, where I don't have to push them as much, because I had to push them. If you notice, I didn't never sit down for 40 minutes. And when I even thought about it in practice, they were still looking at me on the sideline like, coach, what are you doing? I'm like, no, I'm going to let you, you know, you got to feel for yourself. No, coach, we need your help. So they will still need my help, but I would like for them to get out there and do it on their own. But yes, I'm welcoming the competition that will happen and going to happen. And I told them, there's no starting position. It's open.
So I like that.
It's open.
Coach, last question for me. We talked a lot about just kind of the expectation, just for the team and the players, kind of the identity that you want this team to have moving forward. But if I could ask you, what's one word that you would use to describe this next upcoming season? And what is the ceiling for this team next season?
I always like to say the sky's the limit. I never put limitation on nothing that I ever done in life, because when you put limitations, that mean you stunting your growth, and there will always be growth. I'm 56, or be 57 here in what, 12 days, and I never put a limit on even me learning. You guys can teach me something, so I always open-minded about learning and never putting I like to say, Pat, she never let me know that I had arrived at anything that I did, even though I was all-time leading scorer at the time, male or female. It was still another limit, or it was another place that I can go, another gear that I could put in. So she never let me settle or let me come complacent and let me think that I have had arrived at anything. So that's the same way I am built today. So I don't know how high we can go, but I know it's high. Everything I like to say that I've touched and been a part of, it's been a part of history. If I go back and look at it, I've been the first at this, a first at that. So many firsts in my life and my career, all spread it out, not just in the game, outside the game, in the classroom. So the sky is the limit, and I love expectation. Like I told my young ladies now, you know, the target is on our back. Too much is given, much is required. So we asking given. We got a giving day coming up here on the 18th and 19th, where we're asking our fans, supporters, and people maybe not even know about this women game to come out and support us and donate into a good cause. But going back to the question, the sky's the limit, and I'm ready for this journey. I'm super excited, and hopefully next year this time we bringing it back in the studio and you talking to some Swikes champions and first time.
Yes,
well, not first time, because Coach Farmer had taken her teams 2 years to the NCAA. So, you know, I like to dream big.
Yes, ma'am. Coach, we appreciate you coming on the show. Guys, it's been a pleasure. Coach, you know you're always welcome in the studio.
For sure.
The next time we talk, you guys will be SWAT champions. You know, we're going to speak that into existence.
Exactly. I'm going to claim it.
Appreciate you, Coach, coming on the show.
Thank you for coming on the show, and happy early birthday.
Happy early birthday as well.
Thank you. If I can say something before I leave, like I said, the athletic department on the 18th and the 19th of April, which is Thursday and Friday, is our giving day. So it's 1,887 minutes, starting on the 18th at 9 o'clock and ending on the 19th at 4:27, equals that 1887 when we was first became an assistant to the university, where we just giving and we asking different, you know, people just to give. I'm going to reach deep. I'm a researcher and I like to know where everything started, who been a part. We have a lot of famous people that has worn this orange and green. And just for a few, Carmen, K. Michelle, I'm calling them out. Mm-hmm. They need to just come on out and support this women's basketball team. You know, Dr. Heavenly, I'm like, whoa, Dr. Heavenly, where you at? I mean, just come out and support us. If we can just touch each one of our alumni, and it's not just for this year. I want to continue. You know, I don't like to do things just once. If you know, like, I went to four consecutive Final Four, so let's get it done here, FAMU. If you want to invest in a great program where young ladies are not just going to be great basketball players, but they're going to be great citizens, when they leave my program, because I'm teaching them life skill, donate to the cause. So I'm calling out everybody, Will Packer, right? I'm calling out everybody, all the FAMU famous alum, you know, come back, give back to a great cause. But yes, I just wanted to say that about giving, and we know much is given, much is required, and
right,
we ready to give that back also back to the community, getting out to the community. And I'll just like to let the community know, if you need us to come out, read and achieve anything, big sister, little sister, that's one thing. Another focal point, I want to get out to the community and get back out to the FAMU students. And we need to make sure that Al Lawson Center coming up this 24-25 season get full. That was one of my visions when I also took this job, that I want to sell out. I want Kids Day. I want Greek Night, not just one night. We'll play your song. Y'all can come on out and stroll. Whatever we got to do to get you in those seats, you got to come. And we willing to do that. And we going to show up and show out for you guys.
Will do. Coach, we appreciate you again. Hope to get you back on the show soon. But that's all we got for now, man. This has been another segment of Who's Next. Coach, again, we appreciate you. We love you. We rooting for y'all this season. Good luck, man.
Thank you. Love y'all back.
Again, thank you, Coach Gordon, for coming on the show. Now, fellas, let's talk about some football here at FAMU. The orange and green spring game was just last week. What do you guys take away from the game? Starting with you, Jalen.
So, fortunate enough to work with Jeff again on the sidelines and see kind of up close and personal what the team was working with. Out of the offense, I feel like it was kind of what we expected. You know, there wasn't a lot of big plays from the receivers. Of course, you know, I got a chance to talk to Coach after the game, too. And it was evident his game plan going into it was get the ball in the hands of his playmakers. So, he wants to get the ball in the hands of the Gasses. He wants to get the ball in the hands of the Kyle Grosses. Kyle Gross had a huge spring game. I think he'll be a large contributor to the offense next season. One thing I think that stuck out to me, though, from the game is that there wasn't a huge leadership presence. There wasn't like an Isaiah Major who everybody kind of hounded around to like lead them in a certain direction. Everybody was kind of, you know, working on their crafts for sure, but there wasn't like one kind of alpha that like kind of stood up from the rest.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good spring game. That was my second one going to it. But offensively, Junior was the guy. Junior Miritovic was the guy at quarterback. You know, he just had one of those days where he got in that mold, threw a lot of touchdowns, even during the 7-on-7 period.
Yeah, nice passes.
Yeah, he did well. And I was joking. I was saying, like, they had a quarterback-to-quarterback connection because Ja'Cory Jordan, who moved to wide receiver from quarterback, was able to get in the end zone a couple times. So offensive press a little bit. Defensive-wise, I mean, they know how to take the ball away. They forced a lot of interceptions, and that's a good thing. Like, if you got a defense that can take away the ball, like, you'll be in good shape. And, you know, fam, you was always had high ranked defenses in the nation. So I think they need to hit the portal a little bit and then see what they looking like going into the season.
I said it on the Playmakers. I said Junior's gonna have a great showing. Everybody laughed at me, but in reality, he had the best showing out of all the quarterbacks. I was kind of displeased with Daniel Richardson. He didn't have the best spring game. Let's be honest. I wasn't sold. I was like, we're stuck.
I'm gonna be rude.
I want y'all to understand, that's like saying Jalen had the best day at quarterback against all of us. That's what you're comparing it to.
Wait, what are you trying to say about that?
Like, bro, like, what are we talking about right now?
I mean, I'm going to be real. I mean, the quarterback competition, it's been very close. In my opinion, I feel like Daniel Richardson had the better practices, you know, but I mean, I was at all of the practices. I was at all 14 of them.
Why are you looking at me saying that?
You know what I'm saying? But I mean, Daniel Richardson, I mean, he's still learning the system, and so you're going to have those days. But one thing I said that's unique about this quarterback battle is that Junior has the most experience in FAMU system, but Daniel Richardson has the most in-game experience.
Man, it's probably the worst quarterback battle in quarterback battle history.
But the thing is, though, is like, I don't know if you can get a huge gauge if you can get the starter of the team, especially during the spring season, because football is a sport that any given day, anybody can have a good day and you can have a bad day.
Honestly, I don't take too much stock into the spring, just especially with the transfer portal. Your best player might not be there when the season starts.
Right.
Or you might not get your best player into the summertime.
And Kyle Gross had a huge collision during the game. He was slow to get up. So, like I said, it's any given day.
Gerald, Jalen, we're talking about the quarterback position, not a skill position. Y'all definitely know what you're getting when you see this isn't – what? What are we talking about? I'm so disappointed in you.
What you mean?
I'm so disappointed. Go ahead.
What
do
you do? Amar, what you think far as spring game goes?
I mean, I feel like – I was talking to Gerald the other day about it. I feel like you can't really, like, gauge the team too much in the springtime because, again, like, everyone's just getting back. You know, it's just like you trying to feel everything out. But what I will say, the one thing that kind of stands out to me is Richardson – having a horrible quarterback play, throwing three picks, if I'm not mistaken, in the game. You know, this is a guy that we went out, got in the transfer portal from FAU, had a decent kind of showing at FAU, and then he comes in and, you know, ends up being the worst quarterback on the stat sheet that day, just being honest. So that's probably like the one thing I'll say that probably was just like, you know, whoa. You know, so what do we do moving forward with the quarterback position? Because that's really going to be the end all be all, and it's going to like determine like whether we a three loss team or a five loss team. You feel me?
You might.
Yeah, I agree with what everybody said pretty much. Agree with what Gerald said. Agree with what Ahmad said. The quarterback position is without a doubt the most important position in the field, and shoot, probably the most important position in sports. So having, you know, Junior, who was here last year, we seen him in one game, you know, a meaningless game at that, but you know, he didn't play that well. And then, you know, coming out in the spring game, which, you know, I don't know which game you put more stock into, so y'all can do with that information as you please. But seeing the transfer, Daniel Richardson not having the best performance that he had. So we got a lot of questions to get answered over the summer and after, you know, their 2-week break. So I think, you know, Junior has the advantage, in my opinion, being that he has been in the system for a minute now and knows, you know, the wide receivers that are here. So, you know, Jeff might have been right, you know, saying, you know, he was going to have the best performance, should I say. But, yeah, that's all I got to say.
Gee, I got a question for you, though. In terms of, like, because I know you've been in most of the practices. Have you seen Richardson move better in practices than he did the spring game? Because what I saw, he wasn't very, like, mobile in the pocket. He couldn't get the correct reads. I don't know if it has to do with his height at all or just the fact that he couldn't get a lot of time in the pocket either.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen him take off and run a few times, and I feel like when he, I know he's a small guy, but like I know people be joking about how Kyler Murray run like a little kid, but like he be taking off. I've seen Daniel Richardson do the same thing. So I believe if there's a need for him to be mobile, if the protection is really breaking down, I think he can really get up out of there and get some yardage.
You talking about Richardson?
Yes,
Richardson.
He ain't ran. He didn't run in the spring game, but I mean, like
that's
I said,
what I'm saying, bro, in the spring game
he didn't run in the spring game. But I'm talking about in practice.
He can't.
A lot of those, like, the dump out passes to the tight end, someone going in the flat. But outside of that, he couldn't really move in the pocket.
That man built like D.A. Y'all expect this man to run.
I'm not saying run, but at least be mobile in the pocket.
I still don't see that. Even like his highlights at FAU, the man just a pocket passer, and that's fine. But like, what?
For sure, but we don't have the line for you to just be a pocket passer all the time. What I'm saying,
Musa was a pocket passer.
Musa got out there.
Musa had to run a few times. Yes.
I gotta see something from him, bro, because he just don't give me like he gonna run out the pocket and give you an extra 3 seconds on the play. It looked like he finna try and run out the pocket and lose an extra 3 yards on the play.
Junior had the same problem. I mean, he was still in the pocket when he was moving around, but he was able to go from sideline to sideline within the pocket and make plays on the run.
Well, with that being said, fellas, we're going to see who comes out of the quarterback position August 24th when we play Norfolk State. Well, with that being said, we're going to talk about some NBA playoffs. It's time. It's time, fellas.
Yeah. See why y'all put us over here? Because we the only real dude with some sense.
I want the listeners to realize that they're in the other room.
Yeah, they're in the other room. We put the Magic fans in the other room tonight.
We the only two guys with some sense because y'all was laughing. Minus you, G. All y'all was laughing.
And we still going to be laughing.
No, funny part is we're the only people that our teams are actually in the playoffs.
Facts. The Rockets ain't in the playoffs. Tris is somewhat a Lakers fan, but they not even there.
He aren't a
playing. And the Heat are in the playing. With who?
The Sixers.
Oh, brother.
Y'all might not even make it out of that.
Hey, chill.
Well, let's talk about it, fellas.
Everybody, if you listen to this, Mike sold his soul to me. He belongs to me after the second round. I want y'all to know that.
Fellas, we're going to talk about the East bracket real quick. We have the number one seed, Boston Celtics, versus the eighth seed. Then we have the fourth seed, Cavaliers, versus the fifth seed, Orlando Magic. Then we have number three seed, Milwaukee Bucks, versus the number six seed, Indiana Pacers. And then we have the New York Knicks at the two seed, and whoever comes out for the seventh. See, fellas, which side of this bracket interests you if you had to rank them out of all these games being played right now?
For sure, the West has.
Like I'm saying like the East. I'm saying like the East bracket, like the East bracket games. Yeah, East bracket matchups. Which one most excites you?
I'll start.
Don't say Magic won because that's a lie.
How can I start?
Go.
All right, biases aside, we're going to go with Knicks Sixers, because I think Sixers are going to win.
Okay.
And then we're going to say, I'm not going to rank the Magic because y'all don't want me to rank them.
No, right? I'm telling you to rank.
Oh, okay, Magic 4 and 5. The 4 and 5 matchups, 1. Knicks and Sixers, 2. Bucks, Pacers, 3. And then Celtics, whoever they play.
Celtics play the Heat.
That doesn't excite you as number 1?
It don't.
What?
Because the Celtics are going to win.
You have no faith in us, and that's crazy.
Bro, hold on. They won
64 games. You think they're going to blow it to y'all in the first round? If they do, that's, I'm going to start a riot.
He does have a valid point.
I'm just saying, that game could potentially go to 7 games right there. Celtics versus Sixers or Celtics versus Heat. That could go to 7 games easily.
I also don't think we're going to lose to the Sixers.
That's true.
You think the Celtics are going to blow that?
Blow what?
The series.
No, I'm just saying that has potential to go to 7 games.
If I already know who's going to win, like, without a doubt, that's not exciting to me. It don't matter how many games it goes.
I think we split even against the Sixers.
And also, I don't think it's going to go 7.
It's going to go 5.
Yeah, 5
I think
or 6.
We split even with the Sixers in the regular season. So
yeah.
Personally, I'm biased. I'm going to take us over the Sixers.
You know what I'll say to that, though, Jalen? Not to cut you off, but I remember I was vividly saying, you know, when, you know, to Trim's point, he said that the Magic could go 6 to 7 games with the Celtics. I said we swept the Celtics the entire season, but nobody getting on Jalen when he said we split the season series with him. But we, come on now.
Nah, I believe in what
you said.
There's no way you really think that the Orlando Magic's going 6 or 7 games with the Celtics. I just refuse to believe that.
Why not?
What matchup do you think works in your favor when y'all go 6 or 7 games?
That's a serious question. Hold on.
I'm holding.
Because y'all are getting away from my point, which is a valid point, because Jalen just made the same point that I've been making.
Well, no, I said we split even with the Sixers, not the Celtics.
No, but I'm using your example with the Sixers to tie into my example when I was saying we swept the Celtics, the same team that won 64 games.
But sometimes
those 18 games, they lost 3 of those to us.
You remember back in the day, it was a very similar situation. So everybody was talking about how, Chicago was going to beat Miami. If I'm not mistaken, they didn't sweeping, but they won the season series very convincingly.
Yeah. It's not this now. We're talking about this.
As I was saying, everybody was saying, Chicago was going to beat Miami. Remember that?
But a lot of players sit, though, in these in-game series.
If I remember correctly, it was a 4-1 win by Miami, right?
Yeah, we got a gentleman sweep.
Yeah, that's what I'm expecting, wholeheartedly. Gentleman sweep.
Ahmad, rank the series of games on the East bracket that you like.
Me, personally, I'm not going to go with, like, my own team. team series? Because, like, that's, like, I'm thinking from, like, a general standpoint.
Yeah, we're talking general standpoint, yeah.
For me, I'll probably go, like, the Celtics and whoever they play. In my personal opinion, I feel like it'll be the Sixers. I feel like that game will be probably exciting because, like, I mean, like, you never know what could happen. I mean, I don't expect the Sixers to win, but I do expect it to be a little bit of a competition and not even a gentleman's sweep. With the Knicks, whoever the seventh seed is, I'll probably choose that series and then probably our own series, like us against the Cavs. Because I'm excited to see this team actually play some meaningful basketball, like intense basketball.
Spend some time.
I'm excited. But, like, I'm just saying, it's only been 4 years since we've been in a playoff series. So, like, we're not going to sit here and act like my team ain't been to the playoffs since, like, 1995 or something like that. Like, come on now.
I think I'm looking at it right now. Going in the East, it's definitely not going to be Orlando and Cleveland.
So rank your favorites, like, most watchable. Or like to see as you like.
I think whoever comes out of that seventh and eighth play-in seed, playing the Knicks.
On the Knicks Heat.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I said game. That.
I mean, whoever.
If the Heat wins, that's going to be a great series.
I think we match up with the Knicks better than the Sixers match.
I really do think that's going to be a great series. I don't sleep on that Bucks and Pacers series as well.
That'll be good.
There's a lot of history behind it. But there's still a lot of history behind that.
What do you mean? Come on.
Yeah, Giannis not playing like the first three games.
Really?
Potentially, yeah. Yeah.
I thought he was just over with one night.
Nah, it got released today, yeah.
Like, come on.
But I'm just saying, because it's beef behind it. I'm watching it because it's beef behind it.
Not only is it beef behind it, but Giannis not being there makes that series so much more interesting.
Please enlighten me on what the beef is.
The beef is, remember when Giannis had 60 ball.
And they have Oscar Tshiebwe, his bucket.
They don't like
NBA.
Each other.
But Giannis is not playing, so where's the beef at?
There's still going to be beef.
They don't like each other.
They still going to be chirping at each other.
Man, Giannis makes the series more interesting.
I'm just saying, they're still going to be chirping at each other.
I think Giannis not being there makes it more interesting because now it's a very realistic chance that the Bucks might lose.
The Bucks had a realistic chance of losing with Giannis.
No.
Yes, they did.
No.
Yes,
we need to stop this.
They were playing, 500 basketball with Doc Rivers. At the end of the day,
playoff basketball come to who has the best player on the court.
Okay.
They have the two best players on the court at the same time. No one has stopped. There is no one on the Indiana Pacers that is stopping Giannis.
Like, and that's a
proven fact. They can't play defense.
But they can score. Can the Bucks guard? Who's guarding Tyrese Halliburton?
Who guarding Giannis?
Who's guarding Tyrese?
Who's guarding Giannis?
Tyrese shoots threes. Twos are more than three. I mean, threes are more than twos.
Did you not just hear me say Dame?
You're right, but Dame ain't been hooping like he needs to be.
All
right.
G, rank him on the East before we go on the West.
I'm going to take the top two series with the 1 and 2. I think the Sixers the Sixers and the Heat play against each other, but I think those would be the two teams that come out of the play-in. And no matter how you put them, if it's Celtics and Heat or Celtics and Sixers or Knicks and Heat and Knicks and Celtics, I think both of them going to be a good series. So I'm going to put those at the top two. Man, that third spot, it's really a toss-up with the Cavs and the Magic and the Bucks and the Pacers, but I think I'm going to throw the Bucks series versus the Pacers in my third slot just because it's interesting. Giannis ain't playing. And, you know, I feel like they kind of had, when he got hurt last week, I feel like they kind of downplayed the injury a little bit. So it's going to be interesting because I remember last year, that's how they played themselves out of the playoffs with sitting Giannis and then getting eliminated. Yeah, against the Heat. And then last, I'm going to throw the Cavs and the Magic series, but I think that's going to be a very competitive series. So I'll probably be tuning in on that one too.
I got a question.
I'm the same way with you. That's no disrespect because I don't like the Magic. It's no disrespect. I just think that. What's up?
So why aren't we not like giving no consideration to the Hawks or anything? Because I think the Hawks can.
They're not making.
I was just saying, can we agree that
they can't defend a three-legged chair.
Yeah, if I feel like the Hawks make it, they'll be a quick out. You know what I'm saying? I want to see the Sixers and the Heat. Two battle-tested teams, two teams that got playoff pedigree. I want to see them get in.
See, we just
got
to come to play that night, man, because we be loafing sometimes. That loss against the Wizards a few weeks ago.
That's bad.
The one against the Pacers. See, that's what really messed us up because we really should have been the sixth seed.
Like, bro, you talking about the Wizards?
Shoulda, coulda, woulda.
Nah, you gotta play every game like it's your last. That's why y'all right there where y'all at and play.
Mike, this is your first.
like he's popping like this is a tradition. Right. It's not a tradition. Not yet, at least. Not yet.
Like, bro, y'all been
not yet.
The last couple years.
And we made it to the finals last year. So what's your point?
You lost.
You didn't make it to the playoffs last year.
Basically, the first loser. That doesn't matter.
You didn't make it to the playoffs last year.
That really doesn't work.
We're here now.
Moving to the West, fellas. Rank the series, you guys.
I said it off rip. I think that Kings Warriors game is gonna be super duper slept on, and whoever wins that, they play the first
seed. They play the Thunder. I agree with you, Tristan. I think that game is gonna be very slept on. But like me personally, I would like to see the youngsters go against the veterans.
Oh, I'm not gonna lie. I'm looking at it now. The Clippers and Mavericks are gonna be high scoring. Yeah, and they do not like each other. I know for a fact they don't like Luka. We all know they don't like Luka. So.
And Luka don't like them either. He showed every time they play.
I think Luka probably gonna put him out because the Mavs have really been on one, and they're gonna be a tough out for anybody they play, especially with Kyrie and Luka playing the way they playing right now.
I saw somebody say that Jason Kidd got the layup package to Luka, and
Jason Kidd got them boys playing, and they playing defense too. I think that's gonna be a tough out. I think that game goes 7 series.
That game goes 7 or 6 for sure.
I can't lie. I'm really liking the Timberwolves and Suns.
I like that one too. Yeah. I love that one too.
That could go either way, in my opinion.
I don't think that's going either way. I think
the Suns are going to win that.
Whoa.
Wait, what?
I think the Suns
give me the matchups because, you know, 5 for 5. I think KD has to step up and guard
Ant. That's what I'm saying. He has no choice. If everybody's healthy, you give me.
Because Book can't play defense, nor Beal.
Cat's not there.
Cat is there.
Cat's there now?
Yes.
It don't matter if Cat was there or not. Nas Reed is a hooper.
Yeah, off the bench.
He put like 20 a game in the starting lineup.
Yeah, so, like I was saying, I'm gonna go with what I know though.
Okay.
And KD ain't gonna let me down. KD gonna show up. Book gonna show up. Bill,
that's kind of iffy.
No, Book KD gonna show
might
up.
Not always show up, bro.
When is KD not show up?
I don't know, but KD Book. When
was the last time KD and Book didn't show up?
Last year, KD did not show up in the playoffs.
Literally.
Book didn't show up during the finals that one year.
I mean, yeah, they're both liable to go into a corner somewhere and not show up.
40 back to back.
Do not be surprised if the Sun wins this series.
But then again, I think there's a drop off when it comes to Timberwolves and scoring. Like there's Ant, and then there's a drop off, and then you have what? Cat and then Nas Reed, maybe?
That's not a drop off. Cat's 22, 23 points per game.
Scoring is completely different.
Cat, like Cat just show up every single year. Cat didn't have some disappearing acts too.
Yeah.
So let's not pretend like y'all saying KD Book like Cat just ain't disappeared in the playoffs. Stop it.
And then who do you have KD guarding? Who do you have guarding KD?
Jaden McDaniels.
Bro, okay. Shut up. Jaden McDaniels is not. Shut up. Digit, bro.
No, Jaden McDaniels might be first team all defense.
That's real. That's cool.
I get that. That's cool.
But ain't nobody on planet Earth locking down KD, especially not no Jaden McDaniels guarding KD. Let's be real. Let's keep it a bean right now. Like, you don't even believe that.
So you don't think no one can guard KD?
That's not what I'm saying. But saying
it's gonna be a tough out. It's gonna be tough out of limiting him to like 25 points a game.
That's not realistic, Ahmad.
You don't think that they can scheme against KD?
Do you know how many people tried to scheme against KD? KD can score from anywhere on the floor.
That's what I'm saying.
KD can score from anywhere on the floor. He has a handle. He can create his own shot. It's gonna be very hard. You have a better chance of scheming against Book and Bill rather than scheming against KD. That's the one person you don't want to let beat you.
Outside of the 100 points you're going to get from KD, Book, Bill, and Grayson Allen, where are you going to get your offense from?
And I agree with you on that, but I said don't be surprised because it's easier said than done.
But you can say the same thing. You can say the same thing for the Timberwolves.
No, you can't. Anthony Edwards, Jaden McDaniels, Mike.
Jaden McDaniels not a scorer.
He can still keep.
He is not a scorer. He's not a scorer.
Meat riding, bro.
He's not a scorer. I would agree with you with Cat and Anthony Edwards,
and
but
Conley. He's a vet. He's been here already.
What do you think Mike Conley's averaging in this series?
He'll probably give you like 10, 12 points a game.
Yeah, I was gonna say he'll probably give you 12.
Okay.
He's also like a 45% 3-point shooter. Like, bro.
UG?
I don't know. First off, the Lakers, they need to throw this game tonight. If they're going to have a chance. So I know they're saying LeBron and AD questionable or whatever. I don't know.
No, they're playing.
Yeah, the Lakers, but you never know with the Lakers. I think the Lakers get this game tonight and go ahead and play against the Thunder. And then, that Kings and Warriors game, man, that's going to be crazy. I'm going to give it to the Warriors. So I'm going to say number one is going to be Clippers, Mavericks.
For sure.
Two will be, if Lakers and Thunder match up, it's going to be interesting to see like the veteran team go against the young team and like in their first playoff run. So I'll put them at 2.
Man, OKC on go.
Yeah. Timberwolves and Suns at 3. That's going to be a very good series. And then Nuggets and Warriors at four. But I think all them series, like, I feel like you can't really go wrong with any of them.
Dang, G took my whole list.
Yeah, there's really no drop off.
I was telling Mike the other day, I wouldn't mind seeing the Pelicans versus Nuggets matchup. I wouldn't mind that at all. Like, I think that's actually going to be a much better matchup than what people are thinking. Mike was like, oh, I don't want to see that. That's a garbage matchup.
A good defensive team this whole season versus a good overall team in the Nuggets, that'd be great.
I just want to see Zion versus Jokic. I ain't going to lie.
That would be crazy. I want to see Zion. I ain't thinking about it.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, yeah, that's true, too. What'd you guys say, Mike?
I was about to say, I don't think any of these Western Conference series are going less than 60 games. I think every game's going to 60 games at least. I was also going to say, I think the Thunder, since this being their first time being in the playoffs, I really think the Thunder may go home.
In the first round?
It's a possibility. It's a real possibility to me. I think they could lose to any of these four teams in the playing game. That's just...
Moving along, keep it on the West. Who is most under pressure to get a title in the West this year?
The Los Angeles Clippers.
You gotta say the Clippers.
Oh, wait, no, you're right. Clippers.
Los Angeles Clippers.
It's actually a few teams.
Bro. Well, yeah, why the Clippers, though?
When LeBron and AD teamed up, then the Clippers went in and got Kawhi and Paul George, we was like, I was like, bro, the Clippers might be the better team on the back end. And like LeBron and AD, they not got their ring. What the Clippers done did since Kawhi and Paul George have been together. Paul George shot the ball off the back of the backboard, right. off the side of the backboard in the playoffs, in the bubble, or whatever year that was.
I'm not going to lie. I think if Kawhi wasn't hurt the year that the Clippers actually made it to the Western Conference Finals against the Suns, I think they're going to beat the Bucks. That's just my personal opinion. I think they beat the Bucks.
The other thing is, bro, you just never know when these dudes going to play. I know they've been healthy this year, but it's like...
Yeah, this is the most Kawhi's been
healthy The reason why I think is more pressure on the Clippers is because they got everything they need. Mm-hmm. They have the bench. They got James. They got Russ. They got Paul George. They got Kawhi. What more do you need? If you can't win it now, you're never going to win it. At this point, you have everything you need to be competitive. I don't think it's a far-gone conclusion that they can beat the Nuggets, how they're currently constructed. They have enough firepower to beat them. So... I think if they don't win it this year, they're just never going.
And Paul George is a free agent this summer too.
That is true.
So I mean, I hear what Mike saying about the Suns, but it's like we knew when they got Beal that I mean, who else are you gonna have coming off your bench? Where else is there? Like, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, I feel like it's a little bit of pressure on KD. Of course, KD didn't win in the Thunder. He won with the Warriors, but, you know, he built the team in Brooklyn, didn't win. He got this team in the Suns. I don't think the Suns team is going to win. So I can see where Mike coming from because KD do need to get it like a championship, you know, outside of the Warriors, or people going to run with the narrative like,
He ran to the Warriors.
I mean, that's what he did.
I disagree with people when they say that because.
How?
The Warriors don't win that championship without KD.
The Warriors didn't. I don't think the Warriors got. I mean, I know we getting off topic, but I don't think the Warriors got KD because they needed him. I think they got him to.
What? Bro, what?
I think they got him to take the Thunder out of the equation. Bruh,
the Warriors wholeheartedly needed KD. 2016, they realized, oh my gosh.
We can't. 3-1.
Like, bro, oh my gosh.
What did the Warriors do after KD left?
Nothing. It was for a couple years.
I mean, they did.
Like 3 years later.
They did.
The Warriors, the Warriors didn't win a ring after KD?
But what I'm saying is they literally, during that time period, because again, LeBron, Kyrie, Kevin Love, bro, like they couldn't stop them. And it showed in 2016. So that offseason, they was like, nah, we need somebody that's going to really like take us over the top so that we never become that team again that blew a 3-1 lead in the finals. Like that, they wholeheartedly needed KD. You know what KD did? KD literally made it impossible. You know how the Warriors be running those pick and rolls, those screens at the top of the key, those screens like throughout where Steph be running all over the three-point line, all over
down
under
screens,
the basket.
Down screens.
Once they got KD, it was unstoppable. And it showed in the 2017 finals, and it showed in, I think, the 2018 finals when the Cavs got swept. Or either one,
basically, when KD came to the Warriors, it made it impossible to double Steph and Klay. You got to pick your poison.
Because you had so many guys to stretch the floor. Because again, it's like Tristan said, are we going to focus on Klay? Are we going to focus on KD? Or are we going to focus on Steph? You know, and then you got a brother like Draymond, who don't even have to score points. He could really just like pick and dime and set up plays, set up screens. Like, they needed KD.
Draymond told KD they was winning before him and what they did when KD left.
Yeah, I mean, it took them 3 years.
Yeah, it took them 3 years.
They still had the same core.
And that's what I'm saying to kind of get back like towards topic. Like, I'd rather have the Warriors play the Thunder because, again, like, the Warriors have just been through like so many different stages in this decade, this past decade alone. So, like, for me, like, going against like the young hot team, the number one seed in the West too, I think that would be a more perfect matchup. But, you know, that's just me.
You said the Suns, though, under the most pressure win the title.
Yeah.
Why the Suns?
I think so, just because, like, again, like, someone said it earlier, like, KD literally only won a title with Golden State, and whether we want to say it or not, like, they both needed each other, because all KD had to go do was just, like, pretty much, like, go there and just shoot three balls and mid-ranges and all that stuff. But, yeah, he created a team in Phoenix, and it was a pretty decent team. Like, it's a decent team. Like, there's no reason why they shouldn't win a title. Like, they have the scoring. The only thing that they lacked was... that I had questions about early on in the season was their lack of depth at the bench. But I mean, they kind of fixed that problem, so I think they're under like more pressure, in my opinion. But that's just me, because if KD don't win this year, he's never going to win again, and that's just my personal opinion.
You might you said the Suns too.
I said the Suns, but it's not because of the KD situation. KD, I don't think he'll ever win another ring again. But if they don't win a ring this year, you know, you really like the Suns are tied down to Kevin Durant, Grayson Allen now after extending his contract. Booker has the most untradeable contract in probably history. And having that, like, you can't really build a team. So now, once you have this and you lose again, potentially in the first round, I think will happen. I think you have to think about trading Devin Booker, trading Kevin Durant.
Devin Booker's never leaving. Let's stop there.
You have to get assets to rebuild it. You got to stop thinking about relationships. This is a business at the end of the day. You got to get some assets back to start rebuilding your team. You've seen the Brooklyn Nets did it.
Yeah, but you see the Brooklyn Nets, they're in a hole, just like the Suns. No, they're in a hole.
No, I'm talking about when they did it with D'Lo era.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing now.
Yeah, they're in a hole.
They need to trade Mikal Bridges because he's their most tradable player and he's the most coveted player on the roster. They get assets for him. They get picks for him. But that's neither here nor there. But back to the Suns, you can get 4 or 5 picks for Booker. You can get probably 2 or 3 good picks for Kevin Durant. That's 7 picks right there to rebuild your team while you have Bill under contract. And so with them picks, you can build through the draft. You'll have open roster space. So that's just, I don't know. The Suns are in a bad spot right now if they lose.
Facts.
I don't know about that one. Asking out again.
Bruh.
To go where?
Bro.
Where he going to go now?
Thank you. You tell me.
Where he going to go now? He did everything.
That's exactly what I said when he left Brooklyn. I'm like, where's this brother going to go? What's he going to do? That's just KD, bro. KD came in the league. KD is one of the greatest scorers we've ever seen. But he got his title with a team that was already a super team already. A team that was already in the finals 2 years prior to him getting there.
Now, G, you hinted earlier about the Lakers. Should they throw the game or not?
What did y'all mean by that?
Would it be the best scenario for them to win tonight and play against the Nuggets first round? Would it be in their best favor to win and play the Nuggets?
I'm not gonna lie. Every time the Lakers play the Nuggets, this is, you see, they be getting thrashed.
Just getting slaughtered.
That's a terrible matchup for them, bro.
Yeah, that's a bad matchup for them. So they might have to go after the young team in the Thunder and maybe try to use that veteran advantage over the Thunder, because I don't think they want to see the Nuggets not in the playoffs again.
But if they do see the Nuggets, and let's say hypothetically they win, they play the Suns or the Timberwolves. That's not bad.
Yeah, because I'm looking at this Clippers and Mavericks series. I don't know, man.
They get out of the one seed. They play the Clips and the Mavs. Their season's over with.
Yeah, the Lakers they in a tough spot right now. So I don't know what they're gonna do. I'll test my luck with the Thunder if I was them.
Yeah, I'll probably test my luck with the Thunder. They got did dirty by the Nuggets in the playoffs, man. Like, it was pretty bad. I would probably just test my luck with the Thunder. I mean, at the end of the day, the Thunder are the best team in the West, but they are young and inexperienced within the playoffs, so I would do that if I was them.
If they want to prove something, if they want to prove, like, yeah, we can beat the Nuggets, because the Nuggets didn't beat them, 2 years in a row?
My goodness.
So, I mean,
I don't know if they got the firepower for that, right?
Basketball is all about competition, so you always got to, you know, have that chip on your shoulder, prove them boys wrong.
I got to agree with Mike here. I feel like it gives them more of an advantage. You know what you're going against the Nuggets. You played them back-to-back years. On top of that, you now get a week off. You don't have to play another game to get in the playoffs.
Yeah, because I'm the Lakers. I mean, mean, I know I'm going to beat the Thunder from the Lakers because they're inexperienced. LeBron, he's been here.
I don't know about
as many times as I can count on my hand. The Nuggets, I mean, obviously they put the Nuggets, lost to them, but.
You know what you're getting when you play the Nuggets. Yeah, but with this younger team against the Thunder.
You don't know what
you're getting. Exactly.
But they're still like 22 years old. They're my age and Amaz's age.
No, for sure. I understand what you're saying. I just don't know if it's a guaranteed win over the Thunder.
No, it's a guaranteed win.
I'm not going to say it's a guaranteed win, but they have a more probability of winning against the Thunder, if that makes sense. They go into a series with Denver, it's wraps.
Yeah.
It's grits. And then everyone gonna come out the woodwork saying LeBron ain't gonna ever win another ring, blah, 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 blah.
Y'all think LeBron gonna leave?
If Bronny goes in the draft,
I was gonna say,
Bron, yeah.
Where he lands.
Shoot. Back G-League. In first round, second round at best.
Man, he's coming back to South.
Some team would draft Bronny. Like,
that is
let's
true.
Not act like there's no team in the league that wouldn't draft Bronny.
Yeah, they could draft him, but I'm telling y'all where he gonna be at before it actually happens. Y'all don't have to wait to see what happens. I'm telling you the future for Bronny is gonna be G League. Why are we acting surprised? Like he was good.
They did the same thing with Zaire, didn't they?
Zaire Williams?
Wade.
Played on like the Utah Jazz G League team. And I ain't heard from him since.
He's playing overseas now.
Yeah, that's true.
Talking about Zaire Wade.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a fall off.
Well, fellas, this concludes Halftime with the Playmakers. And before we leave out, we're going to get into the shout-outs. I'll start off. I want to first and foremost thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shout-out to the guy. Shout-out to the family. Shout-out to the friends back home. Ahmad, last episode, brother, next week.
Yeah, man.
Going to miss you, man.
Yeah, man, I'm going to miss it. First and foremost, shout out to God. Shout out to the guys in the studio. Shout out to my mother, too. Love you, mama. But last show, next week, man, graduation in 2 weeks. I'm excited. It's been a crazy ride, but I wouldn't want it any other way. I know the Playmakers going to be in good hands. I know the show going to be in good hands. And I know the station going to be in good hands, too. So appreciate y'all always having me, entertaining my magic takes along with Trim. Shout out to all y'all, man. Much love.
Yes, sir. Gotta thank God first and foremost. Without him, we wouldn't be able to do what we do every day and do what we love. Gotta thank, you know, the guys in the studio. Gotta thank family, you know, for pushing me every day to be great. You know, lastly, I always gotta thank the O. Gotta thank Orlando Magic. We got motion in the O, baby. Fifth.
I want to thank God. I want to thank the guys in the studio. Want to give a shout out to my pops, too, on achieving membership into Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated, Alpha Omega Chapter. Pops, I know it's a long road. Really happy for you. Proud of you.
Like everybody, you know, of course, they'd be remiss to say shout out. Remiss not to say shout out to God. Man, shout out to the family. Shout out to my sister. She just turned 31 over the weekend. So another year around the sun, around the world. So proud of her for that. Shout out to the family. Like I said, shout out to the journey, man. Shout out to everywhere journey, that man. I've been and everything and everywhere that I'm headed. And, man, I'm just appreciative of everything. And shout out to y'all both for having me on the show.
Hey, man, shout out to me. Y'all know the vibes. Shout out to the boy for having me back on the show. Shout out to Terrence. Shout out to 90.5. Shout out to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, shout out to my family. Be on the lookout. AAU team coming next year. Woo, woo. So I can't do no quid pro, but hit my line.
Halftime with the Playmakers is produced in the studios of WANM FM 90.5 in the School of Journalism and Graphic Communication at Florida A&M University.